Hi, I'm Venkatesh Chari from Orbit Research. I want to thank you all for the opportunity to allow me to come here and speak to you today about a new product. I think some of you folks were here about a year ago. I had come and presented our company, Orbit Research, as well as our products. So Orbit Research is a small company. We were founded about 15 years ago. We have a couple products in the market. Our first one was a talking scientific calculator, which was an adapted version of popular Texas Instruments calculator that's used in middle schools and high schools. So this product is it's very popular on the market and represents a significant breakthrough in terms of cost and functionality. About 3 years ago, we introduced the iBill money reader. Probably a lot of you have heard about this. It was met with a lot of excitement and has been quite successful in meeting the needs of folks who wish to identify currency. There were a couple of points that some folks wished for. And so we worked on improving the model further and in the last couple of weeks announced and started shipping the second generation model of the iBill. So this is very similar in its functionality. And I mean, the purpose is the same. It recognizes all U.S. currency, including designs that have been introduced very recently over the last couple of years. And going back to, you know, all the way, I think, more than 20 years ago, all bills currently in circulation are recognizable. It's a tiny gadget about the size of a pack of gum. It operates off of a single AAA cell that lasts for about a year. I realize that many of you are iPhone and iDevice users and have probably got a couple of iPhone apps that also do currency recognition. This device is meant for, I guess, folks who are not keen on having smartphones or prefer the convenience. This is a single-purpose device. You press a button and it speaks out the currency. So for folks who are handling money on a frequent basis, it offers a great deal of convenience. The new device is more compact. It's more rounded. It's got a little ring that allows you to put it on a keychain or on a lanyard. One of the issues with the first generation model was that it was hard for folks who had perhaps limited dexterity to insert the bill because the bill slot was kind of tight. So we improved the design of the slot. It's very easy to slide in the currency now. The other feedback we got was it could be a little hard to hear in noisy environments. The volume wasn't as high as some folks would like it. The iBill has always had a vibration mode. So, you know, for privacy or in noisy environments, it was always possible to put it into vibrate mode, which is actually very simple, very easy to use. We wanted to improve this for folks who would rather have the speech output and either had hearing difficulties or worked in noisy environments. So the maximum volume is now much higher than it was in the first generation model. We also added an earphone jack. Vendors who want to use it on a continuous basis can just plug an earphone in. We expect that what the vast majority of folks will still use it without an earphone, but the ability exists now. Also, the buttons sometimes were very easy to press, but sometimes for folks who kept it in a purse or in a pocket, it could accidentally get activated, and it wouldn't do any harm, but it would speak in your pocket, and I guess some folks didn't want that to happen. So the buttons on the new unit, on the new design, are recessed and harder to activate accidentally. I've got a bill here with me, so I'm just going to show it once.
20.
So it speaks. You know, I just inserted the bill. We also now have a custom leather case for the unit, and we're offering a free one for the first 500 folks who purchase the new model. It is also available for sale. It'll sell for $20 retail.
For those of us who have your other generation, is there any upgradeability?
The functionality is the same, so there is no, I mean, it's not a software upgrade that we can offer because the software is actually the same. If you're looking to upgrade the unit, I'll have to check. That's a good question, but I can certainly check and get back to you.
I was going to ask some people about that. If there's any sort of trade-in
promotion. A trade-in promotion?
Yeah, that's kind of what we're...
Okay, great question. Let me make a note of it, and Would it be okay to respond back to
Send me an email.
Okay.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I like the way you changed the slot.
The slot. Oh.
It looks like you can either insert it from the side or from the front.
Yes.
That's nice.
You still need to orient it in the same way. The build still needs to go in the sort of short end aligned with the length of the unit. But it will. You can insert it in either direction. The way vibrate mode works is there are two types of pulsing patterns. One is short pulses or long pulses. So the denominations $1, $2, and $5 are one short pulse, two short pulse, and three short pulses. The denominations 10, 20, and 50 are one long pulse, two long pulses, and three long pulses. And $100 is long, short, so it plays a jingle. Gets really excited if you put in $100.
I've liked the iBill a lot, and I do find it works preferred to the iDevice, say in a darker setting. But the one challenge I've had is either with a bill that's sort of a little crumbly or bent corners. Does this improved one tend to do any better with those kinds of bills?
Yes, absolutely. The original slot was about 3 inches wide, and you inserted the entire width, the short end of the bill, into that slot. Now the slot is only half as wide, and it's got sort of a flared opening, so it's much easier to insert bills, especially those that are a little wrinkled, are much easier to insert. If the bill has a folded corner, we still need you to sort of straighten it out, but it's very, very easy to insert it now.
Even a tiny fold?
No, very tiny folds are fine. It's wider folds that, you know, because it does some optical processing on the corner. We need it to at least see a part of it. So it'll recognize all orientations in terms of flipping it over or flipping it on one side or the other.
The warranty is, there's a 30-day. Sometimes if a corner is somehow damaged or has, you know, perhaps ink on it or somebody wrote on it, it'll have a hard time, then you simply flip it over and recognize another one. You know, we have sold thousands of these. We haven't yet had anyone come back saying that, you know, I found a bill that it could just not write. Of course, it is possible. You know, if all four corners are somehow mutilated, it will not recognize it. We are also very, very proud to say that so far we have not had a single report of a misidentification. And we do an extremely high degree of testing to ensure that the we have no false detections. It may once in a while not recognize a corner or one orientation of a bill, but it'll never misidentify it.
The only time I've ever seen that happen is if I somehow managed to partially insert the bill or I was in a little bit too much of a hurry. Then I did get a false identification, but at that point I was a little suspicious of what I had done, so I just did it again.
What does it do if you get counterfeit money?
It is not designed to detect counterfeit money. So if it is a good counterfeit, it will just indicate the denomination.
Doesn't do Canadian bills, I take it. No provisions for software updates if the government changes the money or anything. And is there a flat surface on the bottom of this so that I can Velcro this inside of my cash register?
It currently does not do Canadian money. We're looking at the possibility. It would be great to get some market data on that. You know, how many folks would really be interested in a feature like that?
Unlike here, Canadian bills are identifiable because they're different sizes and they have different. They do have tactile markings.
Yes, they do have tactile markings. And also, the Canadian bank and through the CNIB provides a money reader free of charge to anyone who needs one. So the Canadians already have a solution. Obviously, for Americans traveling to Canada, it is an issue. We are looking at certain other countries as well. There are many other countries which have denominations which are all either the same in size or very similar. And so the issue is present overseas as well.
We're getting a lot of errors with the device.
Put the short side in so that it is parallel to the length of the unit. So the unit is fully upgradable. It has a port inside the battery compartment, actually, which allows us to do a software upgrade. Our policy is to actually do the software upgrade at no charge at all. We've sent it in, we've turned it around within 48 hours, and there will be a small shipping fee, you know, somewhere in the range of $5, $5 or $10. We work very closely with the Bureau of Engraving and Printing, the arm of the Treasury that designs and prints the money. So, for instance, there is a new $100 bill that's in the works. It has unfortunately been in the works for about 3 years now, and it still hasn't been released. But when it does get released, actually these units will be able to identify that. And as the government comes up with newer money, we'll be able to upgrade. So the unit does have a flat bottom, and you can attach a strip of Velcro. Just one issue to keep in mind, there is a speaker in the middle of the back. So if you were to put two pieces of Velcro on the sides, just missing the speaker is just about half an inch in diameter. So if you were to just put two pieces of Velcro so that you don't cover the speaker completely, I think you'd be just fine. Also, there is the leather case, which you can Velcro or attach otherwise to your cash register. And, that's just got a button and the flap opens up and then you can take the unit out.
You can't use the unit in the case.
You can, but it's not as convenient.
One open.
You said you could put it on a keychain. That's a very attractive option to me. How sturdy is it? Because if it's on a keychain with a bunch of other keys,
right,
is it going to eventually damage the unit?
It shouldn't. None of the sort of functional aspects are exposed, so it should not cause any damage. I mean, it will probably get scratched up a little bit, we have done a lot of durability testing. We haven't encountered any problems so far. I'm sure there'll be use cases which will cause damage. That's a good point. No, it is not waterproof. It's like a cell phone. You dunk it in water, it'll probably cause damage. It is water resistant. So, if you are outside in the rain and, it just gets a little damp, you just wipe it, it'll be fine. The leather case provides a lot of protection in that way. It doesn't make it waterproof. I mean, the case is not waterproof, but it will provide a lot of protection. And it is designed such that the keychain, the key ring is still exposed. So you can still put it on a keychain with that on. Or you can hang it from a lanyard. We asked a lot of folks whether they would prefer that, sort of automatic turn on, and the feedback we got was that no, they would still rather prefer to press a button because it was more positive and they could actually control it when it was exactly in the right place and things like that. Not that it actually needs to be in the right place, it's got a fair bit of slack there. So no, you still press the button just like the old one. For those of you who have the old unit, that also had the ability to take a key ring. We just did not install it and ship it, and a lot of folks thought that it wasn't possible to do it. But you can take a small key ring and thread it through that. It's in one of the corners. It's a little bit hard to do, but it is very doable. For those of you who want a key ring of the right size, just contact me and I'll be happy to just put one in the mail for you.
Anybody else have any other questions?
Yeah, how do you switch it back to talking mode?
Okay. Press one button and then hold it down, and then press another button. A few times it'll cycle through different settings. So it's it'll cycle through vibrate mode, tone mode, and then three speech volumes.
Okay.
Do you have any other products that you might be able to tell us about?
We are working very actively on one other product. I'm not allowed to talk about it yet, but we will be announcing it at CSUN next year. It is a product, it's an educational product.
Come back and show it?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely, yes.
Is it a calculator? It's a talking calculator?
Yes, it's a talking scientific calculator. Right? That one retails for $249. It's a Texas Instruments TI-36 scientific calculator. It's got, I think, about 120 functions. It works in exactly the same way as the normal calculator does, and the display is visible, so teachers can look at it, help with it. Peers and students can look at it. It's got a rechargeable battery. You just plug it in. It works for, I think, over 8 hours on a single charge. So we're located, the company is headquartered in Wilmington, Delaware. We also have an office here in Massachusetts. That's where I'm based out of.
You have a website or something?
Yes. Thanks for asking. Yeah, we have a website. It is Orbit Research, O-R-B-I-T, research, one word. .com.
There are a variety of both iPhone apps and color identifiers on the market. None of them does a good job reliably, yep, consistently. I mean, I think, so I guess my point in saying that,
yeah,
is that I think for it, and a really, really, really good, accurate color identifier, you would have the market. I think you'd have the market.
Okay.
Just my opinion, but I do. Given the traffic that I see on multiple email lists, given what I hear from people, given my own experience, that's one I think you probably...
You
because
have to nail it. Though.
You'd have to nail it. I mean, you'd have to
really
be really accurate. That would be where one I would really look at, because
provide
what we need.
Right.
I think that's also true of an inexpensive or relatively inexpensive barcode reader.
Yeah.
Because
Nobody
is in that area. The iPhones don't really identify them consistently well.
Especially
if
you're talking about port. I mean, I have a barcode reader that works great, but it's got to be hooked up to, and it's affordable, but it's got to be hooked up to a computer.
Right. Is this the one from 80 Guys?
Yeah.
Yes, that's a very nice one.
Yeah, I have that. It works well.
I've had the opportunity to test out a barcode scanner. It's a Bluetooth one that works with the iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
And that worked very well, but the Bluetooth scanner is $650.
Yes.
Yeah,
right.
So that price came down. Mm-hmm. In fact, it could be done cheaper.
You know, so let's say we did nail the color identifier. Let's say we also made a really good, quick, affordable, compact barcode reader. What's the sort of consensus vote on the size of the market? So let's say it satisfied the needs of the majority of folks. Are we talking about, for color ID, are we talking about 5,000 people who'd buy 10,000, 50,000?
Worldwide? You're talking about U.S.?
Worldwide.
Because worldwide, you have to put it in different languages.
Yes.
We
would do
worldwide?
That.
I don't know. I mean...
Or if you say U.S.?
I think you'd have to ask somebody like American Foundation for the Blind.
Yeah.
They do a lot of statistics
on
how many...
Yeah, what's your market for the iBuild? Because that's something that's probably as important to us as color identification.
The difficulty we actually face with the iBuild is reach. When we first introduced it, everyone who was on the internet figured out right away... And those who wanted it got one.
Yeah.
Over the last couple of years, it has slowly but very slowly filtered.
You're missing a big segment of people, like a lot of the elders or people that have low vision might be interested in basic things such as identifying their money or learning colors, and they're not usually computer techie, and a lot of them aren't connected to groups.
Exactly.
So you're missing a huge...
Right.
Population.
Now, with that said, you can't compare the market for the iBuild with the market for the color identifier. I'll tell you why. About 90% of all blind people in this country have some usable vision. The majority of them could tell what color shirt I'm wearing. Most of them cannot read a dollar bill. When it comes to color identifiers, it's a much smaller market. It's a very hard market to hit because, you look at a piece of clothing, it's not all one color threads.
And that's
one of the problems in a lot of things, like, what is it, the Colorino?
Colorino.
And when it comes to stuff like the ones on the smartphones, the issue is the camera and the ambient lighting getting
focused.
I have a Colorino one. Like if you go on their website and stuff, that's one thing they talk about, like different identifying different colors of food. But you have to think of something more practical, like what would people use it for? Like when Amy was saying, lights on a modem or something that people need to know the colors for their practical life.
Right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.